My fellow laborer in the gospel in Grants Pass, Nathan, and his wife, Dara, did not believe that I would do it. As soon as we entered the Christian bookstore downtown, they got away from me as fast as they could. Although, I think Nathan remained within earshot. I walked up to the counter where two friendly ladies were willing and ready to help me. And I kind of leaned on the counter and I made this request. I would like to buy $3 worth of God. And I paused just long enough to see them looking at me like, what kind of a kook has walked in here now? And then I continued, by Wilbur E. Reese. I explained to them that it's a book. The title of the book is $3 Worth of God. And the author is Wilbur E. Reese. So they checked their computer database, and of course it wasn't listed, further adding to their suspicion that some clown has again walked off the street into their store. So I thought, I got to find this book on my own. You see, I had seen in a magazine where several authors had referred to this book and quoted from it, and I liked the quote that was in it. It was very thought-provoking. And then I read in the December 2002 issue of the Gospel Advocate an article by Brother Corey Collins, where he also made reference to this work in his article, Keeping God at Arm's Length. So I contacted him to see if he could help me locate the book, and actually, he had not seen the book either himself, nor did he have a copy of it. But he did help me show me how I could find it, perhaps, on the internet. So I did that, and eventually I got in contact with Mr. Reese, who lives north of here in Washington. But the book is out of print, but he did have a few copies left, and he was glad to sell me one, so he did. As soon as I got it, I showed it to Nathan and Dara so they could know that such a thing really did exist. And then I went downtown to the Christian bookstore, and I said, do you remember when I was in here the other day? I said, this is the book that I wanted. $3 Worth of God by Wilbur E. Reese. And I could tell one of them looking at me thinking, this is a joke book. That's what it is. And I gave it to her and had her read What is the First Meditation. And that's all that it is a book of devotions and meditations. Each one is different. But the first one is called $3 Worth of God. And it also sets the tone for the rest of the book. Now, do you think it's strange to buy God? And what do you think of buying only $3 worth of God? If $3 is not enough, how much is? After quoting Acts 8, verses 18 through 20, which we'll look at a little bit later, here is what Mr. Reese wrote. And this is the part that I saw quoted in the first magazine that I alluded to. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. In Acts 8, Simon attempted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. Simon was a man who had been a sorcerer in the city of Samaria, convincing people that his power was actually from God. Simultaneously, the church is being started in Jerusalem, and it's experiencing explosive growth. And so preachers start to go out preaching. And one of them was a man by the name of Philip. He was an evangelist. And he went north to Samaria and began to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to those people. And they saw that this was the real deal. As they witnessed his miracles and heard the words that he preached, they were converted by believing in Jesus. And the Bible says that both men and women were being baptized into Christ. And one of those was Simon. You see, Simon knew that the things he was doing were fake. But he could see that what Philip was doing was real. These were true miracles. Therefore, whatever it was that he was preaching must be coming from the same God who gave him this miraculous power. So Philip listened to what he had to say, and Philip was also converted and was baptized. Well, as a result of this, the church back in Jerusalem heard what was going on in Samaria. So they sent Peter and John to Samaria that they might pray for the Samaritans, lay their hands on them, that they might receive the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John went, and Simon saw what was going on. He saw that when Peter and John came down, they'd lay their hands on people, and then they'd be able to work miracles. And so here is what Acts 8, 18 to 20 shows happen next. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. God cannot be purchased with money. He cannot be purchased with $3 or $3 trillion. Yet the truth of Mr. Reese's comments that I read earlier are that we want to purchase some of him, but only a little. We do not want him fully for what and who he is. Yes, I would like to buy $3 of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. Give me enough of God to make me feel comfortable. Give me enough of God to give me the warm fuzzies. Give me enough of God to control. Not so much that I will see he is greater than me and that I must submit to him. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. Do not give me enough of God to make me accept people the way he does. If you give me too much of him, I will have to change the way I look at people and the way I treat them. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want the rush of excitement that comes after knowing about God, not the pain that comes from changing my life after knowing Him. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. Give me just enough of God's religion that I can hold it neatly in a flimsy container. Give me some of the spiritual, but give it to me with the material. I want to experience the eternal, but I don't want to get too wild about it. Let's not get radical here or fanatical or even cultish. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Yes? Just enough of God that I may experience all His wonders, but not enough of Him that I may see Him for all that He is. Give me the pretty side, but not the demanding side. Give me enough of God that I may control Him, not that He may control me. As I thought about this $3 amount, I thought to myself, well, perhaps $3 is not right for the year 2003. This edition of Mr. Reese's book that I got was published in 1971. So I thought, maybe $30 might be better. But then I thought, 30? I don't like the sound of that one. That sounds too much like 30 pieces of silver. In Matthew 26, as you probably know, the Bible shows that Judas and the Jewish leaders thought that's what Jesus was worth. He's worth about 30 pieces of silver. It says in verses 14 and 15, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. They thought that was enough, and evidently Judas did too, because he accepted it. I was talking once about this very passage, the covetousness that must have been in Judas's heart and other things along those lines. And a Christian man told me, I don't think that's what it was. It had to have been something deeper. It had to have been some kind of psychological problem. And why it is that we think the psychology of man goes deeper than the spirituality of God, I don't understand. But here is just the point of what's going on here. What Judas did was sinful, it was foolish, and it was ignorant. Do we only want $3 worth of God? As Solomon confessed, in 1 Kings chapter 8, there's a whole lot more to God than $3 worth. I want to encourage everyone here to take some private time to meditate on God this week. It doesn't necessarily have to be a long time, but to find a favorite passage of Scripture that talks about Him, or go into His natural creation and look at the splendor of it, and just think about the immensity of our God. And when you do, you will then understand the words of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27, when he prayed to God, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I have built? The God of whom announcements are made about Him in heaven, and heaven shudders. Do we only want $3 of that? Do you remember when we looked at Isaiah chapter 6 several, I'll say weeks ago, I guess it's been months now. But in Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His temple filled the temple. And then he says that he saw the seraphim flying around, and each one had three pairs of wings. With one pair, they covered their feet. Reminded us of the times when both Moses and Joshua came into the presence of God, and they were told to take the sandals off their feet because they were standing on holy ground. The ground was holy because God was present. It's not a common thing for some man who's walking on this earth just to walk into God's holy presence. And with two other wings, they covered their face, showing that man cannot just look at the holy God without paying a penalty. He's holy. And then with the other two wings, they flew about and they were saying, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of His glory. And then Isaiah says in verse 4 that the posts of the door shook at the voice of Him who cried. Some translations will say the foundations of the threshold shook. Just give me $3 of that, please. Do you remember Daniel chapter 10? Turn to that passage. I kept telling myself I can't read the whole chapter today. But there's so much in this wonderful and powerful chapter that I want to remind you of what we looked at several months ago, that you might get the feel for what Daniel experienced. Verses 5 and 6, first of all. He says, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Well, as I showed you several months ago, I think it seems pretty obvious that this heavenly being that Daniel saw was probably Christ in his godlike appearance. But then if you jump down to verse 8, Daniel begins to tell you how he responded to seeing this magnificent being. He says, therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face. With my face to the ground, he's looking down. He's actually down on his lying down on the ground on his face. Verse 10. Then suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. So now he's up on all fours. He can't even stand up yet, but he's trembling. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood, but he adds, trembling. And then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Now remember, he's come to give Daniel a message, but the message isn't given until chapters 11 and 12. So what's chapter 10 doing in the Bible? It's to show us the difficulty that this great and humble man had with being in the presence of the mighty God. Literally, his body cannot handle it. Skipping down to verse 15. He continued. When he had spoken such words to me, and I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. So now remember, he's back standing, he's trembling, but now as this heavenly being speaking to him, it's humbling him even more, and he can't handle the sight, he can't handle what's going on, so now his head drops. He hasn't gone down to the ground all the way yet, but he's on his way. And he became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. But I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant, referring to himself, of my Lord, talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. So yes, Daniel's having a difficult time. But the point of it is to show that he could partake of this. He could partake of the Holy God. He could work with the Holy God. But just give me $3 of that, please. Just give me a little bit. Not very much of what Daniel experienced. Well, there's another one. Turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. We also looked at this several months ago. And here we know for sure that this is Jesus Christ. John is on the Isle of Patmos, just off the modern coast of Turkey. And he's by himself. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He hears a great voice speaking to him. It sounds like a trumpet. It's so loud. And after he hears what is heard, starting at verse 12, it says this. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, he's a lot like Daniel, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, the one that was holding the seven stars, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. And again, this is Jesus Christ we're speaking about. John had lived with him for 3.5 years. John knew he could have all of him. He could have all of what's going on here. Shall we then say, I'd like $3 of Jesus Christ, please. That's all I want. And you know what? I haven't even shown you yet. Ezekiel chapter 1. Which I plan on doing very soon. So please, in addition to what I told you to do earlier, please read Ezekiel 1 and be amazed by what you find there. Another spectacular sight of our gloriously beautiful God. What would you give for your nation? What would you give for your family? I am sure that if the need required it, you'd give your life. Is God, worth less than our nation? Is our family more valuable to us than our God? Let us not hold back our devotion and obedience to Him. The houses should have been embarrassed that I would go into a public place and ask to buy $3 worth of God. The ladies at the bookstore were right to think that I was odd for wanting to purchase $3 worth of God. God cannot be purchased. If He could be purchased, shall we only get $3, especially when He offers to us His fullness? What does He hold back? Nothing that I know of. So why do I cheat myself by giving Him less than all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength? What if He gave us only $3 worth of life? What if He gave us only $3 worth of Jesus Christ? What if He gave us only $3 worth of heaven? Man, I'd feel cheated. I want more. Listen to what God offers to us. In John chapter 1, the apostle shows what Christians have received of Jesus Christ. If He is Lord of heaven and earth, why have anything less than what John says here we receive? Now, as I read from a verse in John chapter 1, please keep in mind Isaiah 6, Daniel 10, Revelation 1, and then later when you read Ezekiel 1. Think of all those things and how I showed you in those past sermons that they all have a connection with Jesus Christ. Now look at John 1, verse 16. John says, "And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul offered a prayer for the Ephesian saints that shows what was available to them. And by its inclusion in the Bible, it seems reasonable for us to conclude that God wants us to know that this is also available to us. Now, towards the end of a prayer that he said he was uttering on their behalf, in verse 19, he said he also prayed that they would have this: that they would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, what would you think if I came into your home and I said, "Brother or sister, could we have a prayer now?" You'd say, "Well, sure, why not?" You always want a Christian coming into your home praying, don't you? What a wonderful thing. And we start to pray, and I say, "Please give this household $3 worth of you." Hopefully, you would look at me like those ladies did and avoid me like the houses did. How much of God do we want? How much are we willing to pay? And I'm not speaking about money. Do you know how to have all of God for free? Please turn now to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. In Romans 6, Paul is reminding the Roman Christians of why we cannot go on in sin after we're converted, just going on our merry way as though it's no problem with sinning. You know, it's God's grace will cover it, no problem. Don't even worry about it anymore. He refutes that idea. And these people who had believed in Jesus Christ with their whole hearts, who were repenting of sin, they were turning from it, he now reminds them of something that they had done to get started on their Christian journey and to have all of God. And it's what you can do this morning if you've not yet done it. Romans 6, verses 1 and following. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also," he says, "reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Live for God." And he says you start that when you're baptized into Christ. God has offered all of Himself by offering all of His Son. But what Romans 6 has shown is that for that to take effect, I must commit to giving all of myself. Sounds like I'm dying, doesn't it? And that's exactly what's happening. That's why a burial has to take place. And we symbolize that with baptism. You go down in the water, you come back up, and now you're a new person who, just like Jesus, lives for God. If you've not yet done it, please come forward right now as we stand and sing.